League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, gang, the clock is ticking before our live commentary at the Jacob Burns Film Center this Friday, October 31st. The marathon kicks off at 10 p.m. Passes are still available. Come up if you're in the city, the metro area. If you're not, it's a quick drive from wherever you are, I'm guessing. But if you're in the New York metro area, you come up on the Metro North train there. It's under an hour, nice quick ride up, walking distance from the train station.
It's a pretty good setting for an actual horror movie itself. Who knows? There might be a slasher thing that happens throughout the thing.
You know, Scream 2.
We might be Scream 2, you know, like I'll be Jada Pinkett screaming out.
Oh, I wanted to be Jada Pinkett.
Yelling at the audience for being so excited about Bloodlust. Look at me and no one's caring. My God, that opening is so stupid.
It's so stupid.
Well, I think it's throwing this like fake, like, I can't believe you like violence so much. Yeah. By the way, here's Scream 2.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to go out like more like Omar Epps, and I'm just going to be like listening to somebody take a shit, and then I get a knife in the ear.
Well, that's, you are known for listening to people take shits in bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Eight films, one night, all horror.
It's one of my favorite. It is my favorite stupid horror movie of all time.
That we're doing the live commentary for.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
oh, yeah.
My favorite stupid horror movie of all time.
And I'll give like another kind of hint here.
I mean, everybody knows what it is, but we can continue.
I'm not going to. But I'll say this: if anyone hasn't figured it out yet, I mean, and after last week, my goodness, please. I was really hitting the nail on the head. Right. But if you happen to know how to find my Letterboxd page, I have been watching every other movie in this franchise except for the one that we're doing.
Oh.
Saving that for a rewatch this week. Get in the zone for the commentary.
Yeah. Auto zone.
Yeah. Get in the zone. Now we're going to get sued. I sang the auto zone.
My zone.
So 10 p.m. this Friday, October 31st. You can pick up passes at burnsfilmcenter.org. And don't forget, speaking of the 31st, it is your last day to email us for your listener request month animation damnation email.
Oh, man, we've really just stepped in at this time.
Yeah.
There's been so many great responses and so many awesome, like, bizarre cartoons I never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
Good episodes of things that I've been looking for. Like, because that's the thing is, like, we have an idea of what we want to do for the rest of this show, this sideshow that we do, but, like, there's just so many episodes of everything, and it's hard to find stuff. And that's why it's been so great that everybody's been putting links to everything in the email, because it helps. It really does.
Thank you for following instructions. So, again, if you haven't written in yet, you have till this Friday, the 31st of October. Write in with the show you want us to take a look at, the episode, and a link to it on YouTube. Or make a mention of it being in a Netflix or Hulu type situation. We'll take care of it from there. But stupid cartoons, man. Ridiculous episodes of popular cartoons. Anything goes.
Oh, yeah.
Steve and I were just talking about how eventually we want to do this one particular episode of Batman the Animated Series, which is one of the best cartoons of all time. But there's something that qualifies in there.
Absolutely. There's fun, stupid shit all over the place.
So here's what you do. Wake up on the 31st, write your email in about what you want us to do on AD, and then go to burnsfilmcenter.org, pick up your pass, come up to the Burns. You know, I'll be hosting all night. We're going on second. It's going to be a really, really fun time.
Go to work if you have to, though. Like, I mean, don't get fired just on the case of, you know.
Yeah, because then nobody wants to go to an all-night horror marathon once they've been fired.
Yeah, you know?
Your life's already horrific enough as it is.
Downer, I feel, probably.
October 31st, check us at the Burns and email us your AD picks. Don't wait. Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gavin.
Steve Sadak.
And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare.
Sometimes that is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
He's sick, Fox. You've seen one too many movies.
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
What's the fucking motion in the van?
An excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the final, God, I'm so bummed, episode of the Spooktacular 2014, hashtag WHM Spooktacular 2014. We are talking, you all guessed it, folks, Child's Play 3, directed by Jack Bender from 1991. Jack Bender, of course, was a big, he's a big TV director. He directed a ton of Lost. Like, he wasn't like series director, but... Dude directed a shit ton of Lost episodes, some of the best ones, actually. But in 1991, he unfortunately dabbled in the feature film world, and we got this.
You think he met, like, Abrams at a party, and it's just like, Abrams just did Taking Care of Business. He just did, like, Child's Play 3, and they're just like, what are we going to do, man? And he's like, dude, I'm going to get you out of this mess.
Trust me, in like 20 years from now, I'll get you out of this mess. Don't worry about it, brother. Don't worry.
I feel like they probably met and like they did like he was going to do like Taking Care of Business. Jack Bender was going to and so they met a few times and then they just disagreed on what it should be.
Who wanted what in that situation?
I feel like Jack Bender probably wanted to be more like an Oz type.
God, really, I wanted really it to be more of a,
yeah.
Oh, I'm getting killed. Oh, Ritz, I'm getting stabbed in the kidneys.
Hey, Schillinger, I'm not Jewish. Egg!
I know that there's a lot of fans of, like, all horror franchises. Yep. Like, I'm a fan of stupid shit. I can't get behind this Chucky nonsense.
I never could.
I'll tell you, I prefer puppetry, puppet Chucky. This CGI Chucky, this shit in these new movies,
I haven't
seen any of them. I've been, like, you know... unfortunate enough to see clips of them, but this is a franchise I cannot back.
I remember seeing the first of the new cycle.
The Jennifer Tilly series? The
Bride Tilly of Chucky, was that one.
That one. I remember seeing that in theaters, and it was awful.
You saw the whole thing in theaters?
Just that one, I saw the whole thing in
theaters. Oh, really?
That was kind of in that Halloween H2O timeline, like post-Scream, slashers are back, baby. We just need to gussy them up, and everyone put on their best horror tuxedo and made a good showing. So H2O came out, Bride of Chucky came out, Freddy versus Jason's a little later, but pretty much right there.
It's right there. I mean, they did, like, so H2O is like 98.
Yeah.
And I feel like that Bride of Chucky was like around then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you got Seed.
Oh, yeah.
Where two puppets fucking make a baby.
Yeah.
A baby puppet?
Was it a doll?
Yeah. I mean, they were two dolls and they had doll intercourse.
Yeah.
And then a baby doll is made. And then there was Curse of Chucky, which I think is like possibly a reboot-ish. I don't know.
The newest one's supposed to be different. Like, it's supposed to be like less fucking jokes, more horrors.
Right. That's Curse of Chucky. That's 2013.
And the thing is, the first one, I was under the impression, like, I was always, look, there's two things in this world that scare the shit out of me. It's fucking clowns and it's dolls that come to life.
That's, oh, yeah.
Those are the things. Those are my top two. It's not spiders. It's not fucking... But man, oh, man, am I terrified of that shit. And, like, that's why I don't need to see that Annabelle movie. I know it's bad, and I hate being afraid of bad movies.
Yeah.
We were talking... I will admit this to the world now of something that I was mentioning off air in the privacy of my living room to you, but I am kind of terrified to watch most modern horror movies. I've been trying to get over that slump, like, this Halloween season and, like, watching some stuff I find on Netflix here and there, but, like, the thing that I can't do, and I think it's because The Ring just scared me to death.
Yeah.
That first Ring movie, the Naomi Watts remake, like... weird dead girl ghost things.
Yeah, we're all walking all jangly and shit.
We're walking all jangly and shit. And I can't. And it's that stuff that I'm like, I can't watch that. And I feel like that's what, like all of these, The Haunting of Mary, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Possession of Esther, who cares? Like all of these movies that are coming out, and you can forget all the ones that are apartment and room number, because there's about 14 of those movies now, and they're all jangly walking weird girls, and I can't look at it.
I'm going to tell you this, and you're not going to believe me.
Okay.
But The Possession of Esther, Who Cares? Is actually pretty good.
Sounds like a Chris Cabin tall tale to me.
But, you know, and that's why I have a huge gap. See the Friday the 13th episode we did.
My heart's still broken.
In slasher movies, because I was always afraid of them as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten over it. You know what I mean? I've realized that there's actually almost none of them that are actually scary. And also, I'm an adult. Yeah. Nothing's going to get me.
I just said I'm scared of weird girls.
Jangly walking
weird dead girls.
Who are a little pale.
So it doesn't matter if you're an adult or not, dude.
So that's why the Child's Play was always at the bottom of my list. It was like double dose. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
I watched the first one last year, and I assumed that was the good one. Usually the first one's the good one.
Well, because they made a bunch more, so the first one had to be good, right?
And, like, usually the first one's the least jokey of all of them. But right. He's just bebapping and scatting all over that one, too.
Yeah, it's way too many jokes. It's way too many jokes of Brad Dourif-ing around in this Jack Nicholson impression. And I can't stand it.
And I will say that's the one thing that the new Chucky movies get right, is that
he's doing some sort of Polish accent.
Yes. No. They make the world heightened. Like the world is a little bit more silly looking in those movies. Whereas in that, it's like a fucking Sidney Lumet New York.
It's
really ridiculous.
It is the hard streets of New York City, man.
It's like
so
Chris Sarandon walking around steamy fucking sewer caps.
It's Taxi Driver. It's unbelievable. And then there's just a sass talking doll.
For no reason. Absolutely not.
And that's the thing. The problem also is, like, Chucky could and should be scary, but, like, once he starts telling jokes, once he's the protagonist of the movie, not like he is in this movie, he's not the antagonist who's like, oh my God, is he in the corner? Oh my God, is he under the thing? He's just the guy we're following. We're just following his life at this point. His puppet life.
I feel like that's because, like, it was a sensation, right?
Yeah,
like,
people loved it.
He was a sensation, and it's not like something like Friday the 13th where you line up all the dead meat kids and you just wait for Jason to come.
Yeah.
You know, like, the attraction is just seeing this doll and, like, it's the same thing with the later Freddy movies. It's like, you're coming because this thing's making jokes and killing people.
Yeah.
So like
punny and whatever. And
yeah, like, you got to watch the thing make the joke before the kill. So you can't set up any kind of suspense where, like, he's going to pop out and kill somebody. He pops out, but then he's, like, making a joke, and then he's killing somebody.
It's like Kramer, you know, at that point. Like, woo, Kramer!
If Child's Play was a sitcom, like, every time Chucky came on screen, there'd be a round of canned applause.
I do feel like Jason is Jerry in that situation.
Yeah, he is the neat freak of the bunch.
So I guess Freddy would be George. He flies off the handle a bit. You know, that
he
makes
flies
sense.
Off his handle. He lost the job at the high school. Just can't keep a job, that Fred Costanza.
You did what with the children? Oh, my God.
That's, I guess, a Jason impression, sort
of.
I mean, he doesn't really talk. So.
Not at all.
No.
But I figured that's what you were doing.
Thank you.
So we start this one off, like, the end of that second one, he's, like, blown to bits and melted or something.
He's melted with, like, liquid, like, acid plastic.
It's boiling acid, says the security guard from Batman Forever.
So, yeah, he's just a puddle.
And so we open on the puddle. We open on, like, doll parts. Like, that's, look at all these parts. Like, ew, right?
Yeah.
Gross. But it's like a Chucky credit sequence, I guess. You see the aftermath. You see, like, the company, I guess, is, like, getting ready to make these Best Bud dolls or whatever they're called get back in business.
So they're revamping this factory in Transylvania.
Yeah.
And, like, while they're passing the Chucky doll, the melted down Chucky doll, across the mixture, which I guess they're going to use
the same one, just
decades old plastic mixture.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a bunch expensive. Of blood goes into it
yeah.
from the doll. Now, my question was, why aren't all of them evil?
Yeah.
If all of the blood is in the fucking vat, why aren't they all evil? And that would be really good.
12 Chuckies. You're exactly right, Chris. That's the way you do it. That's how you step up the stakes. And you know what? Fine. It would be obnoxious. We would be sitting here complaining about, I had to hear 12 tracks of Brad Dourif.
I'm fine giving him money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the man.
I mean, think he's great. If he wants money, give him money.
What if you get the whole Cuckoo's Nest cast back? You get Chevetta as one. You get Danny DeVito as another. Christopher Lloyd could be a doll.
You blow Chiefs your budget on Nicholson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nicholson.
Well, you don't have to blow your budget on Nicholson. You got Brad Dourif doing the Nicholson impression.
Okay. That'll work.
Because that's all it is. Yeah, he's not talking like Brad Dourif. He's talking like Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
And it's weird.
It is.
And he even does the Jack Nicholson Shining scream when he runs out at Scatman Carruthers. The,
Which he does exactly 1500 times.
Oh, my God. By the end of it, you're so tired of him.
I'm so awed out. Like, it's not even funny.
Like, why does this puppet need to psych himself up to kill people? Like, you know.
It's like a wrestler getting ready to jump off the top turnbuckle.
Like, you know, no, Chucky.
You're not dealing with a hernia. You're just going to kill somebody.
Oh, my groin. And so we cut to a 1990s boardroom, and this Poindexter is given a whole spiel about, like, and it's not, like, usually it would make sense if this guy was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're bringing back this thing. What a terror, you know, he's the guy that believes in the magic, but he's got some hard numbers. He's like, look, this whole thing, this whole toy line is related to death. You look at that toy, you think of death. This thing is going to be poison to our bottom line.
Yeah. And this guy's like the chief, like the CEO or whatever, you know, he's just like, nobody's going to remember this. It's like, no, dude, everyone's going to remember that this kid claimed one of your dolls killed his family or whatever.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, and what's very clever about this, too, is this Poindexter, in a sense, like, kind of just recaps those first two movies for you.
It's pretty economic.
In this boardroom meeting, it's better than a flashback.
Mm-hmm. So this guy's like, fuck it. Kids are stupid. And it's like, well, but sir, you're not looking at these graphs.
We all know kids are stupid. That's not the point.
Also, get corporate culture right. They would do a whole fucking, like, and this would suck, but they would do a whole, like, design. Oh, he's got to have new clothes.
Yep.
He's got to have a new, like, fucking hairdo. Mm-hmm.
You can't just put out the same doll in the same dungarees.
Absolutely not. They would never do that.
But they do that. What's amazing is, like, they're bothering to have this boardroom meeting, and the guy is just like, well, this has all been fascinating, but by the way, the new shipment of dolls will be here in 15 minutes, and we'll have them out in stores by the end of the week. I was like, what is the point of having this boardroom meeting then? Only to remind us about the last two movies.
Why didn't you just say no to the guy?
Just shoot that shit down and let everybody go to lunch early.
Well, that's the best part, too, is, like, you think at the end the guy goes up, he's like, look, you know, boss, that's just... those are just my opinions, you know. I don't want to be on the wrong side here. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. And you think maybe he's going to do something nefarious to him, or he's going to do that, I want that man homeless, penniless, or like tearing tickets in Alaska or whatever. Like,
yeah.
No, just walks right out of it.
They do a bullshit thing where he's like, well, I'm going to take off for the night, boss. And he's like, if you must. And the guy like pauses for a second. He's like, well, my wife's expecting me. See, it's our anniversary. And he's like, if you must. And he does the old, like, well, I guess I could get these reports done after dinner.
If you must, crotch it. Here's a sack of my laundry.
Yeah. So they then present this old man at the end of this boardroom meeting with the new good guy doll. There's a bullshit, like, the good guy doll for the 90s. And you're like, oh, it's just the 90s, isn't it?
The same package. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Yep. I don't know what, you know, it's like, oh, but look, see there on his top collar, he's got a cool radical symbol or something.
A fourth dimple.
Yeah. It's completely different. So they give him this doll, and he's being like a big hotshot businessman. You know, the end of the night, it's late.
Yeah,
he puts on CNN or whatever. Yeah, he's doing the old, I'm going to do some putt-putt in my office. And whatever, this doll comes to life and kills him.
It takes forever. This scene, they really thought that they were going to make some... And like, that's why I was like, are they trying to make this suspenseful? Because I know what the doll is. I know what the doll does.
Yeah, he's going to Jack Nicholson roar and... kill this person.
He put like marbles all over the floor.
And then this old man hilariously has tons of toys in his office. I guess if you're a toy magnate, even a heartless one, you still have to have like your product all over
samples.
The place. Yeah. But there's all these like little like toy cars and little robots like coming after him and stuff because like the dolls turned it on.
It's almost like a Saw setup. Like,
it's kind of a big trap.
You have to do this thing, and then you trip on the marbles, then I'm going to stab you in this arm, and then maybe I'll strangle you with
piano,
a yo-yo.
He does the piano wire, and then he, like, comes, you know? He's like, oh, yeah, that was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, it feels good to be back. Or whatever. Here's the thing, real quick, that I think is, like, the most unbelievable part of this scene, right? And it's not the fact that a doll comes to life and kills a man. It's that a doll comes to life and gets itself easily out of this packaging without this old man hearing anything. Do you know how hard it is to take a toy out of anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's obnoxious.
It's got those little twisty ties on there, maybe. You need fucking scissors.
Well, I mean,
you need an adult to get some scissors.
Early 90s, I feel it's just staples, but still, you're punching the cardboard.
Well, this fucking doll somehow mails itself. That's a scene I want to see.
Yeah, where is the scene where you know what it had to have been? This is the only thing I can see happen. Is he's like, hey, homeless bum. You know, he's like, give you a quart of whiskey if you just mail this box that I'm going to put myself in. Don't worry, I am a talking doll.
And I'm not going to poison you.
And he just has like this he gives the homeless man like $20 to go get like a fifth, right? And he's like, now I'm going to get in this box, you piece of shit. And then
you're lucky I'm not killing you because I'm a real good killer.
Yeah. And he just makes this like drunk homeless man like mail him because how else is it happening?
They put him in the mail chute. Oh, he's going down.
He's all the way down.
Just stupid. And the thing, here's the thing, and also what makes Chucky a lot less scary than your Jasons and your Freddys and your other dudes, your Michaels,
all the dudes,
the horror dudes. Yeah, sorry, got a little mop the hoople on you there for a second.
It happens. But he has a very clear objective, and that makes him less scary. Like, he's like, all I need to do is get my soul into Andy,
right,
and then I'll be all right. Like, because what he wants to do is take over the body of a young person so he could live again.
It's another being reborn through a child. Let's point that out.
But he also because I'm not super familiar with these movies. Like, oh, he needs Andy because he's bound to him by a spell or something. That's the only way to complete the spell. But then he goes to the school and it's like, oh, let me take this other kid. It's like, so if you, it could be any kid in the whole world.
Yeah.
You can find a stupid kid. Like, come on. Like, you.
Well, he does find a stupid kid in this movie.
Oh, yeah. A real dunce.
But the thing is that he has to.
Real dunce.
He has to. It's the first person he tells who he really is.
Yes.
Oh, is that how that
works?
Yeah,
he's like, my name's Charles Nelson Reilly. Well, that's not
what necessary.
Oh, no, it's Charles whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
Manning Camp or whatever.
Yeah, it's like he reveals his true identity.
Oh, it's
so he's like
bound
then,
to him.
Like bound to him. Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I thought
yeah,
it was anybody. And I was like, it's fucking anybody. Dude.
But at
like,
the same time, it still could be literally anybody because just go up to any dunce and be like, I'm Charles Nelson Reilly. Now I got to eat your soul. You know, like. It doesn't make any sense that he tries for Andy twice.
It's not even that eat your soul.
He tries three times, by the way.
It's full pedophilia talk.
Yeah.
Because it's hide your soul. We're going to play hide the soul.
Ew.
We're getting a little weird with how we're trying to trick these kids.
There's a lot of pedophilia coming up. So he's like, I gotta find Andy on the internet, which is enough of a problem.
No. This movie comes out in 1991, okay? Internet not necessarily readily available.
No, I know.
Okay, so he's back in that CEO's office, and he's like, where's Andy? And it's just like you see the reflection of the computer screen, and somehow he just pulls up this file. It's like, what?
Well, I mean, that kid must have sued his company 4 or 5 times at this point.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You're not getting court out of that. Although I would imagine a big corporation like that might just settle.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, Jesus, here's that kid again saying the doll tried to kill him.
They definitely have a Barclay binder. Like it's not a file. It's no longer a file. It's a fucking binder.
So time has passed a little bit since our last Child's Play movies. So
we're in a fake future, by the way, because I think the last one was like 1990 or like 89.
Yes, you're totally right.
And it's like 8 years in the future because like Andy's like 15 or 16.
Yeah, you're totally right.
So we're in a fake 1994, I guess.
He looks like a bad Will Wheaton stunt double.
Justin Whalen was Jimmy Olsen in the second Jimmy Olsen in the Lois and Clark Show, because the first one a little too Italian for everyone's taste.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, the original one was like fast talking, a better actor too, like a fast talking, like, hey CK, how you doing? And then like they're like, is he supposed to be Irish?
His name's Jimmy Olsen.
Does he have to be a newsie?
Where did he get that cab?
Why does he keep using that cab?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I didn't recognize him for anything.
The only I remember him from the Serial Mom. He's the funny masturbator.
That's a credit you want to keep under IMDb.
And that's how he's credited, funny masturbator, right under Kathleen Turner.
So his second build, Kathleen Turner, funny masturbator. So he's sent, I guess, after spending some years we don't see go by in a series of foster homes.
Do you think Kurt Cobain never dies in this reality, by the way, in this alternate 90s?
Yeah, I would put up with a Chucky doll chasing me if that was the case. Let's have old Kurt back. So he's at this military academy. Kent. Military school, is that the idea?
Yeah.
So he's just like thrown right into the thing. Like
Kent Military School, where live ammunition is king, I guess. Must be the fucking motto.
Is readily available.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some other people like talking about this online and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's feasible. Like, I don't know anything about military academies, but like, I would wager there's live ammunition somewhere.
Locked the F up.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a world where there's a doll that comes to life and kills people. It could also be a world where a gun cabinet's left unlocked.
Or, well, I mean, it looks like Wallace's shed. It's like off to nowhere. It's a rickety fucking door. There's spider webs.
Yeah, where all the bullets are.
So, you know, he gets there and he immediately gets sent to like the colonel's office. And it's a really like, this guy is going a roundabout way to be like, I don't want any of that doll bullshit in my school. You know, it's just like, now, why don't you tell me why you're here? Uh-huh. What else? Well, I was, you know, I got around in foster care and I didn't really like it. Uh-huh. What else?
Get to the part about the doll. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not hearing about a doll.
And your mother going crazy because of a doll.
Yeah, totally. He's like, yeah, my mother, you know, she's in a mental institution for various reasons.
Why?
Because.
My buddy and who?
So he finally says it. He's like, very good. No doll shenanigans.
He's like, we all have to grow the fuck up. Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not, thinking that a doll killed a lot of people is not immature. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, totally. It's not like, oh, little child. It's like, oh, crazy child.
Yeah, totally different animal.
Also, then, why isn't, like, you want to put Andy in the mental institution, right? Because they did it with Elm Street 3. Like, that's just a ward full of crazy kids, and they've all been fucked with by Freddy. Sure. Like, pop them in there. Well, like,
what they kind of suggest in the beginning of the second one is that, like, he was crazy because the mother was crazy about the doll, because she is the one who's fighting him in the first one.
Yes. It is more, it's the mom. You're totally right.
And then the second one, it's more him fighting it with Garrett Graham and the new foster family.
Yeah, because Seventh Heaven was gone at that point. She skipped town.
The mom's not in the second one?
No, I don't think so.
No, she's not.
Oh, really? Oh,
no, she goes to a foster, Garrett Graham's father.
One and done.
Yeah.
I see.
Good she's thing. In a picture, though.
Yeah.
A framed picture.
They paid for that fucking film still, and they will use it.
And they use it in this. He puts it on his dresser in his little dorm room.
So, yeah, he goes. He meets Horshack, his little roommate there.
Yeah, this guy's a real wiener, huh?
Whitehurst or something?
Yeah, Whitehurst.
Man, this kid's arc is just something else. And we'll get there, because this kid's whole thing is the steak of the movie. You know, everything else is the potatoes, the fucking bread, the dessert. Mm-hmm. That kid, that's the steak.
Also known as Quentin Tarantino's The Cowardly Lion.
I mean, this guy, like, I feel like most of his life is like Paul from the Wonder Years. You know, it's like that pussified by another like 30%. Like, Paul wasn't a coward.
Paul's parents caught him smoking a cigarette. They ship him off to military academy.
Yeah. I mean, so this is, it's like, you know, it's a military academy thing, right? So, like, there's an older boy who's like the more senior officer. Of course, he hates this kid for no reason. Shelton is the, the bully. Yeah. Then you got a girl, Da Silva, I believe is her name.
From Entourage.
Yeah, she's, what's it, Piven's wife on Entourage. Yeah.
And she's an old school as well.
Who is she in old school?
Farrell's wife.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And she's in a great episode of The X-Files, the vampire one where it's three vampires.
Oh, is she one of the three?
She's the woman who seduces Mulder.
I think she's really good, actually. I think she's had, like, she's a character actor. She's not in a ton. Perry Reeves, she's actually, like, somebody, like, oh, good. You know, she's kind of the best
part of this movie.
Yeah.
She's really like, you see her in these scenes, and you're like, all right, you're actually doing something with this fucking dreck. Yeah. It's fine. Thank you for trying.
And so Chucky bails himself, and there's this kid,
Tyler.
I think his first name is, like, Rodney or something, but you remember his last name. So Tyler's his name. Ostensibly, and like, you know, he's a dope. I mean, the problem is, so,
but he's like 5 years old. What is he? That's what I don't understand. Like, do you put kids this young in a military academy?
He's not. I mean, he's like 8 or 9, isn't he?
He's just
acting 5.
Yeah, he's about 7 or 8. But there are young. There's little kids. There's also I don't know a lot of co-ed military schools. Again, prove me wrong, kids. I don't know one from the other. But like,
it's only two women in this one.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the thing. It's a bunch. It's a cheap movie. So it's like 16 boys, 2 girls, and 4 little kids. You know, like that, and that's the entirety of the school,
which is amazing to me because it's like, why don't you just balance that out a little bit? Why do you need so many teenage boys?
Yeah, just get another couple of girls.
Like, get some more girls. You can ease up on the little kids. I don't get it. Like, are the little kids running the drills and shit just like these teenagers?
Then you have 2 separate curriculums going on together, and you clearly don't have the staff to make it work.
I don't think I see one teacher in this movie.
Shelton is in a fucking place of power.
It makes no sense.
It's silly. It's ridiculous. There's no classes ever. It's only we're just running and, you know, doing push-ups and whatever else. And like, but they still have to go to school, man. Like, you know, like, the state makes them go to school. Yeah.
By the way, since we're bringing up Tyler, can we talk about how he's introduced with another character who is my favorite character, the barber?
Oh, dude, man.
This pervert. I don't know what his problem is. I don't know what movie he belongs in, but I don't think it's this one.
Well, speaking of weird creeps, he's the dude who plays the Scorpio Killer in Dirty Harry.
Yep. That makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Who gives this guy free reign to cut kids' hair? Like, come on.
And as if it couldn't get any worse, the barber shop is in the basement.
No.
Where no one can hear you scream.
And he's got cartoons on all day. And he's like, he's giving Jimmy Olsen a haircut, and he's like, you know why the Romans made their hair short? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, you know,
if you're bringing up orgies.
You talk about the Romans, and it's like, he's like, because the generals wanted their squires to look. I mean, because that way no one could pull your hair.
Oh, wait, can I make it worse? Can I set this scene even creepier?
Sure.
Do we remember what's on the walls of this barbershop? Hair samples with corresponding Polaroids to the children he's given haircuts to.
Really?
Yes, you didn't notice that?
Oh, my God.
There's Polaroids of children with little hair. Hair samples.
And they're all in a padded room. This is your horror movie, everybody.
Yep.
Creepy barber. Creepy kid barber. Done.
Like, that's like Chucky comes in and he's like, you're a real creep, you asshole. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he just murders the doll.
Yep.
The doll's out of the franchise, and now it's just Barber 3, the Barbening.
Yep, exactly.
I'm going to lower your ears.
And, you know, he cuts the ears off and puts them on his feet. You know, like, that's lowering your ears. That's your movie.
Yeah. My God, it's unsettling, this character.
It gets like, you want to trim garden shears, head off.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly he's got a mustache. So he...
That goes without saying.
Tyler is, you know, delivering mail, and he gets a package for Andy because that's where make the, we went to the bums explicit, was like, make it out to Andy Barclay at the military academy. You got to put the P.O. box on there. I'm going to be in shipping for weeks.
No, that's one R. B-A-R-C. No, I know it sounds like Barclay. It's not. It's Barclay.
Like bar, where you wish you lived. Clay, what's in your fucking skull instead of a brain?
I just like the idea of Chucky cool at his heels on the third attempt to deliver this package. Are you fucking kidding me, mailman?
He's putting a notice on the door. Fuck! Fuck!
I hear him taking out that pad.
He's never going to sign it. God damn it.
Third attempt, I'm going to sit in that back room for weeks.
Now someone's going to have to come to the post office and pick me up.
Also, great missed opportunity here. So, like, this little kid's carrying this huge box that's, like, taller than him.
Yeah.
And he drops it down the stairs because, like, everyone in this military academy is messing with other kids.
Yeah, it's bully high.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, hey, little kid, what do you got, a package? And, like, toss him. And this box falls down the stairs, a really good stair fall. Where is the like that doll needs to be yelling that it's falling.
Well, that's another thing about Chucky that I don't understand is Chucky bleeds. If Chucky loses an eyeball, he's lost an eyeball.
Right.
You know, there's no regenerative properties, at least in this movie.
Not that I saw.
So, like, he's just a little person at that point. He's a creepy, because, like, he's got no extra strength that we can see. Like, he's not super strong. He's not super fast. He's a little person with a knife, essentially. Well,
The fact that this movie, I mean, I know that, you know, logic isn't supposed to have any worth, but, like, he is dead. Like, the whole thing is at the end of the second one, he does become Chucky. Like, he can't go, like, he actually gets Andy down and he does the whole thing.
Oh, he does the little spell.
And it doesn't work because he's been in the fucking doll too long. So he is Chucky. And then they kill Chucky.
So then, but why?
Exactly. Why?
But, yeah, like, wouldn't that mean that his whole, like, motive in this movie makes no sense? Like, if it was just to kill Andy for vengeance,
right,
that would make sense.
Well, I guess the argument they make here is that he's got reborn. A new body.
Because he's got a new body. Apparently that whole vat of plastic only went into one fucking doll.
You're so damn right. Like, why are there not an army of little Chucky dolls? Better movie.
Kills me.
Oh, also, the haircut that Andy gets from that child molester barber,
it's
a Wolverine haircut.
It is. He's a little Wolverine.
He looks like a Will Wheaton dressed up as Wolverine. Wolverine is what this kid looks like.
So he gets this little kid in the basement, and, like, the kid unwraps the package because he realizes it's a toy, and he's excited about it. And, you know, he's a little fucking deprived kid.
Yeah.
But, like, here's the thing. So I had a great imagination as a kid.
Yeah.
I knew that none of my toys could talk to me, and if any of them did, that's the end of it. Mom, mom, mom. Yep. That's what I'm screaming three times.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, one of my notes was, how is this kid not petrified of what's happening right now?
Yeah.
And to further that point, no one really is that surprised when they encounter this talking doll. Huh. There's a mild amount of, like, oh, holy shit.
You know why? Because all of the other movies has, oh, is that a good guy doll? I think those are evil. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, look, it's coming after me with a knife. Oh, I knew it would do that. The world all saw that New York Times piece about Andy Barclay. Oh, that was the Andy Barclay. I told you that was the Andy Barclay that's now going to our school.
They got a Wolverine haircut, but it's him.
Can't hide behind that Wolverine haircut, Barclay. I know what's going on.
Get away, paparazzo.
So he, like, tries to do this spell on this kid, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Now we're going to play Take My Soul.
Hide the Soul.
Oh, hide the Soul.
Because it's, again, toucher. Toucher language.
Hide the Sausage.
Yeah. And the kid's like, oh, boy. And, like, again, Chucky, you know what? You fucked this up three times already at this point. You never use your real voice. Use your super high, cute voice. And be like, well, we're going to play a fun game. Just close your eyes.
Yep.
And put these earplugs in because I'm about to do some satanic shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just figure out a better.
Figure it out.
He does a bad job at ever pretending to be innocent in this movie. And it's a big problem because he would succeed all of the time.
Just stick to your same three dumb lines that the doll is supposed to say. And then secretly just come alive and kill somebody. See, that's the problem. Is the serial killer that's inside this doll, like, the soul of that serial killer, cannot get out of his own way.
No, he can't.
He just cannot do it.
Well, what I just don't understand is, like, okay, so he finds out immediately. He's like, okay, I have a new body. I can fucking, you know, do, I can do it to another kid this time.
Yeah.
I've got free reign.
Any kid I want.
And the first one you meet, why not go to a fucking orphanage or go to a
Yeah, nobody's going to miss them.
Go to a fucking hospital, like somewhere where they're going to be there all the time.
And I get the whole mileage aspect of it. All right? You want to get as young as possible to get as much time in this new body as possible. But like really the difference between 8 and 16 is a lot in terms of like where I'd like to be versus a little in terms of more years on this earth.
You know what I mean? Here's the other thing. You know that this serial killer is a real scumbag.
Sure.
Right? Wouldn't you guess that the first thing this guy wants to do when he gets back into a nice flesh suit is go find some tail at some flea bag motel, right?
And like, then murder, sure.
Yeah. But, like, you know, pick up a couple of girls, you know.
Black Dahlia all of them.
Yeah, do your thing, then Black Dahlia them and, like, go on. No, you know.
8 years old.
What like, are who are you going to go to? The barber?
And what you can't even get a job or like rob a like you can't even get a hotel room as an 8-year-old boy.
You're stuck in this dumb military school.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, until you can
orphanage.
Age out.
Yeah. I'm 31 now. You know, getting up there, but older. The most I'd ever want to like go back is like 5 years, maybe tops. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be fucking. I definitely don't want to be a 10 years old, no advantages.
No, over teenage, 21 at very least.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm not giving up the booze. I'm never doing a fake card ever again.
No. We had that part of our lives. It's over with. Did you spill beer all over my floor?
No,
what was
fine.
That? Oh, all right.
It was just something.
I heard a thud.
Over.
Okay.
A seltzer for crying out loud.
One of the worst lines of this movie happens in this basement scene because, like, the kid lays down on his back and he's getting ready to like do this spell and whatnot, which I'm not familiar with what this spell is. It sounds like at some points Brad Dourif is speaking French here and there. I don't know what's happening.
I think it's the first black movie, magic.
It's the first movie. There's definitely Creole voodoo going.
Yeah.
All right. So that kind of explains the French sounding part of it. Okay. But before he does that, before he lays into this spell, he goes, "Oh, wow. Chucky's going to be a bro."
No, he does that later.
He says it to Andy to taunt him. And it's
I thought it was in that scene.
And it's like, dude, what? Not okay.
Oh, that's right.
Not okay.
Because he shows up in Andy's dorm room and he's like, hey, Andy, guess what? Chucky's going to be a bro.
Absolutely not in this movie, sir.
No,
Kelly Rollins.
Because the kid is The kid is African-American. I don't think that shouldn't matter, but apparently to this movie it does.
Chucky's real fired up about it.
Well, that's the real tension to me. It's like, oh my God, is Chucky going to say the N-word? That's going to be crazy.
No, but this is what I will give Chucky some credit for. It's not like, ah, oh, fuck, I got to be black. You know, because like...
He's kind of excited by the prospect.
Yeah, right? He's like, all right, like this is cool. It's going to be a change of pace for Chucky.
Sure.
You know, walking someone else's shoes.
An equal opportunity possessor?
I think that's what we're saying here.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Chucky doesn't discriminate. However, he can be reborn back into society.
Well, he does that like white guy thing where like the kid, because it'd be one thing if he did say it to the kid, like, oh, great, I'm going to be a bro. But he finds the first white guy he can come talk to and be like, hey, I'm going to be a bro. Like, I'm okay with them, but just you and me, we're okay, right? It's like, no, we're not. Like, you know what, dude? No, we're not.
It's the old secret white racist thing that you come across every now and again, and it is just the worst.
Mm, you get in an elevator with a white dude, and it's like, hey, we're both white guys, right? And it's like, oh, shut up.
It's called me when I go back to my hometown. I got the scene wrong, but that is one of the worst lines in this movie. It's like, come on.
It's real weird.
Well, the thing with this Tyler, so he's supposed to be like 8, but like, do 8-year-olds still fucking hang out with like my buddy and me shit? Like, dude, would they really
Plus,
be attracted to this?
He seems a bit stunted too, because I mean, he's been in military school for 5 years, a bullied military.
But he's got a video game. He's got like a Game Boy in the first fucking scene.
It looked like a Game Gear, like a fake, because I don't remember Game Gears being that big.
It looks like a fucking portable TV. This thing's enormous.
Yeah, that TV's got buttons on it.
This thing's lugging it around on his back.
He's got a fucking generator, like
crank.
So the colonel bumps in,
right?
And it's great because Chucky is the only slasher icon that's afraid of getting thrown in the garbage. Like, that is one of his biggest, like, oh my God, they're going to throw me in the fucking garbage.
Yeah, Michael Myers does not have this problem.
No, he does not.
The Leprechaun, maybe.
Yeah, the Leprechaun could get tossed in the trash. Those movies are unwatchable.
Yeah, it's
pretty, I couldn't get through the first one.
I watched that first one. It is, ugh. But people love it.
People do. People enjoy them.
There's like, what, seven of those now? Some fucking.
And a reboot coming?
Rebooted. Oh, no. It's out. We rebooted with that wrestler.
Oh, really?
Whatever that little hog swallow.
Seamus, I believe his name is.
It's not hog swallow? Where'd I get that from?
Maybe it is.
I don't know what that is. What have I been looking at?
Looking at a map of Georgia?
Yeah, but whatever that little, that guy, he's, I think that's him. That's the new Leprechaun.
No, good.
Just a WWE Studios ruining horror movies for the rest of us.
Well, because, I mean, Willow, I mean, he was over.
Yeah, Warwick Davis was done. He'd moved on to his Ricky Gervais show. Like, we're having fun with ourselves.
So he gets he gets walked in on while he's doing his little conjuring.
He's like, oh, fuck.
So I got to go back to being a doll. Here's the thing. They might do this more now with those, like, CGI ones. Mm. But you can't do it with the puppet, right? It's always like he's alive as like the live puppet, mm-hmm. and then you cut to something, and then it goes back, and he's like the doll looking nice or whatever. I would imagine if they have a creative bone in their body, they're using computers now to show you like him transitioning back into the doll, and it's like a fluid like anime. Oh, wait, I forgot. You saw Bride of Chucky in theaters.
Weirdly,
does that happen?
Weirdly, what happens is they just really don't do the I'm pretending to be a doll thing that much anymore.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because he's got like zombie makeup for
most like
of it, right?
He's like just a killer. Like, he's just a killer doll now.
Good gravy.
I think he maybe does it to Jennifer Tilly at the very beginning. But most of the time, it's just him fucking killing people.
Oh, because like Jennifer Tilly's herself, and then she gets put into a doll?
Yeah, it's a whole
and
fucking
who
thing.
Could possibly give a shit?
And that just
I did about 15 years ago.
So he gets walked in on by these two like superior officers who, it's the first time we hear that there's like a War Games thing getting set up.
Oh man, I love this.
You know, so it's like, now, General, we need to have all these paintballs ready in the artillery room by next week or whatever is happening.
So they throw Chucky in the garbage.
And he's like, stop playing with dolls, garbage.
And I mean, like, we could just, you know, we could cut over most of the Andy Barclay stuff because it's really boring. Like,
it's boring as shit. He gets bullied at school. Great.
He's getting bullied. It's like, it's a little bit of Full Metal Jacket. They even do that. This is my rifle. This is my gun bit.
Yep.
We're doing that. Like, you know, you've
we
got
sure are.
This little nerdy guy's doing his best, you know, private pile.
Yeah, he's kind of the private pile of the group.
He's the one. Yeah, hey, Joker.
God, I love Vincent D'Onofrio, man.
He's the
best. Really do. We can
romancing De Silva. Barry Reeves.
Yeah.
Which is weird because she's definitely older than the actress is about 21, and he's about 17.
Yeah.
So in that age difference, it's kind of weird to look at because she's like, oh man, I love this kid. It's like,
yeah, because it's not so much the age, the actual age difference, because 3 years, who gives a shit? But what is the issue is that the actor who plays Andy is very baby face looking.
Yep, exactly.
I said that he looks like Will Wheaton. I mean, Will Wheaton now is like pushing 50. Will Wheaton has a baby face. Like, this kid looks like a kid.
Yes, exactly.
And also, Perry Reeves is kind of obsessed with him to the point where she breaks into an office to find his file to find out he was an orphan.
Yeah, it's like, I think he's a real interesting guy. I'm going to take a look at his permanent record. And what's amazing, too, is she opens it up and, like, the first thing she looks at, she's like, knew it, foster home. I'm like, come on, De Silva.
Like, 10 points. You know what I mean? Like, it's on her little checklist.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he's got problems.
Ooh, spoiled meat.
Well, to the age difference thing, it's weird because when they do make out in this movie, and it's like that fucking scene in This Is England, man. It's like, ew. Oh,
just kissing your babysitter. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So
getting thrown in the garbage. Chucky, this is a great scene.
This is actually the scene from Ninja Turtles that we never get.
Yeah.
Because Chucky's in the trash. He's in the trash compactor. And he cleverly starts yelling out like, hey, I'm a man back here.
Hey, there's a grown man back here.
Not a possessed doll, everybody. Oh, my God.
I'm a veteran. Get me out of here. The garbage man is like, oh, I'll save you, veteran. So instead of like turning off the truck, which you should do if you're gonna, if you're, listen, all you garbage men out there, if you gotta fish a grown man out of your dump truck, okay, turn the dump truck off before you hop in.
He stops the gear, but he leaves the thing a running, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he jumps into this thing and Chucky like climbs out somehow and just closes this man. And I've never seen the inside of a garbage truck.
It doesn't look like this.
No. Okay, we can all agree that this is a weird, like, Hostile 2 device of some kind.
It looks medieval. Like, it's like a rack.
It's a spinning, like, spiked cylinder. I'm like, how is this helpful when collecting and compacting garbage?
I'm almost positive it's supposed to just be another wall.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm almost positive.
You squeeze it together, it's more compressed.
You use a hydraulic thing to push one wall against another wall, and you squish the garbage.
So he pulls a Casey Jones and goes, oops, and turns it on, and this guy gets crushed to death, and it's pretty awesome. But also, Chucky, again, your number one and only priority is getting inside Tyler.
Like yeah.
That's it. Getting your soul in there and just take it. So don't go fucking killing people because
they're don't gonna be go like, chasing garbage men, okay? Like, seriously. Eyes on
stick
the prize.
To the rivers and the lakes that you're used to, all right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's great because this guy is like putting his hand out. He's like, help me! And it gets like ripped off.
That's the best way to do that, right? This movie does get that right.
Yeah.
You could just be like, oh, no, and you just, like, never see it. This dude gets an arm out, and it just gets crushed. Oh, it's great.
And then the Ninja Turtles high-five each other and mock his death for years. Dude, they fucking killed. I know we say it every episode on this show, but the Shredder is murdered viciously at the end of that Turtles movie.
And they just laugh all the way back to the pizza place.
I think it's like every time they go to like, they get like a can of tuna. And like, they're just like, I think that's Shredder. I think that's part Shredder in there, recycled Shredder.
They talk about that Shredder murder more than Al Bundy talks about that football game. Like, it's just every chance those turtles get to bring it up. And it just can be like super tangentially related to whatever someone else said. It's like, oh, that reminds me. Remember when we killed the Shredder?
Oh, Don, you forgot to Shredder the pizza boxes this morning, which means throw them in the garbage.
So this dude's dead, and it attracts the attention of the entire school.
Of course it would.
It's awesome. Like, they try to, like, get this dude out or whatever. Mm. Nothing really comes of this poor garbage man's death.
Again, an investigation would get open. Like,
yep.
Oh, who did this? Where did this? How did this happen? It's not an accident. You know what I mean? Like,
just like the U.S. military, man, just covering it up, trying to solve that shit in-house. No thanks. Outside authorities. Outside investigation.
So, Chucky makes his move on Andy, and, you know, basically
after he's done making his move on Tyler.
And winds up, like, saying, I'm going to be a bro. And everyone kind of throws up. And then the Sarge, the kid.
Shelton
breaks in. And he's like, oh, you're playing with dolls, huh? My sister would love a doll. And he's like, no, but it's an evil doll. And, you know, like that whole thing.
Oh, you don't want this one. You know, props to this movie. You're coming out in 1991, where it was the Wild West for homophobic slurs.
Yeah, absolutely.
This character, Shelton, could be flinging the F all over the place. Mm-hmm. Not once in this film.
Yeah, it's
not once do I have to hear that shit.
Pretty impressive. That's especially pretty in a great military school movie.
Almost no epithets.
None whatsoever.
You know why Jesse the Body Ventura wasn't in this movie? And his infamous, I'm sure, improvised line of dialogue.
Bunch of slack-jawed so-and-sos, if you get my drift. They didn't let me ad-lib as much on the set of Child's Play 3, so I had to walk off the production in protest.
I played the crooked gym teacher.
There's no other role for him than the crooked gym teacher.
Coach Abraxas.
I played Coach Abraxas. I had a pretty great scene where I threw Chucky in the garbage and then called him a slack-jawed so-and-so.
Because I was pretty sure he was Secundus.
That's the Ventura calling card, is slack-jawed so-and-sos.
Talk about the greatest deleted scene of all time. I don't even think you could find it on YouTube.
Arnold had to grab me in the set of Batman and Robin and say, "Hey, Jesse, cut it out. You're ruining a real good studio gig for me here, buddy."
Man, Jesse the Body Ventura in this movie, it would have made this movie better.
Absolutely. You don't have to pay that much either. He was doing Abraxas around the same time.
If you caught him before Christmas when they were filming that movie. Like, that's something, though. Like, how do you not have anybody as, like, one of these teachers? I mean, there's, like, it's just nobody.
I mean, they must have gone, too. And They, you know what they did? Probably, it's like, you see this in sports a lot, where you, like, in free agency, you go after somebody that's really above your weight class, and you wind up getting nothing. They went after Arlie Ermey really hard in free agency season.
Yeah.
And just got nobody.
No. But so there's nobody in this movie, and so the doll's back out of the garbage, and it's running around, and also it's important, actually, to mention that while this, the general or whatever is carrying this doll to the dumpster, Andy sees him like holding it, and it's like, yeah, I know this doll is mass produced on like a large scale, but that's definitely Chucky.
That's absolutely Chucky.
Yeah.
not fooling me for a second this time.
Not for a darn second.
So Shelton gets it.
Yeah.
And he brings it into his room, and then there's this weird gonna break into this guy's room scene.
Yeah, just gonna break into this dude's bedroom.
And again, like, he's just getting all over him, and like, he's throwing him against the wall, and it gets broken up.
Perfect opportunity. But you're breaking into his bedroom, perfect opportunity for a slack-jawed so-and-so.
Nothing.
So way to go, Child's Play 3.
So this is around the time, you know, to get back at him, Shelton makes everybody kind of do the we're doing push-ups in the rain, because
yeah, it's like until someone comes clean about who stole my doll, Barclay, we're all gonna run outside in the rain. And it's like all these other dudes are like pushing him down, like, thanks a lot, jerk, making us run in the rain.
And this is when Da Silva breaks into the other thing
with her friend, who she stole straight from a Tiffany Mall concert. Like, who is this girl? She is not in a military academy right now.
Exactly. And we've got Mr. Barber Beefcake. And there's no restriction on women's hair in this fucking institution at all.
I feel it's strict ponytails. Like, I mean, you have to, at least.
Well, right? Yeah, they're not making you G.I. Jane yourself.
No.
It's, you know, you're going to get a haircut, but you're not having this, like, ultra hairsprayed, like, scrunchy look.
Like, I mean, yeah, I guess sideways ponytail situation.
Like an extra on Full House. Like, I guess it's like because it's after hours.
I mean, she's got a Gibbler.
She's got a Gibbler. Yeah. Let's go. And so, yeah, they break into the colonel's office. This is where they're trying to find the info on Andy and like
Chucky's
what his
there
is.
Because he's playing hide and go seek, creepy hide and go seek with this idiot kid.
Just fucking kill this kid's soul already. Enough with the hide and seek.
And she puts like makeup all over his face.
Oh, it's so great. They're like, look at this cute doll. And they're putting lipstick on his mouth. And I'm like, Chucky's going to have some words about this.
Mm.
Just you wait. So they hear like a rustling and they all run out of this office. And here comes this fat colonel. And it's awesome because it's the only time I can recall, like off the top of my head, that someone literally just gets scared to death in a slasher movie.
It makes perfect sense. If I saw fucking Freddy Krueger coming out of my bed, I would have a fucking heart attack.
You Yeah, exactly. And so, like, the dude flips on the light and he's like, what's going on in here? And it's just like the doll, and he's like, how's it going? And the guy's like, girl, like he go, that's, oh no, this is what it is. He does another Jack Nicholson yell. And before he can strike, the dude just starts having a heart attack. And it's kind of funny because Chucky's like, oh, you gotta be shitting me.
I shouldn't have done that fucking scream. God damn it.
Now I can't get off.
Now this dude's just having a real fat attack. And he falls backwards into this like battlefield, like, what do you call him? Diorama, you know, that he's like been meticulously doing. It's like House of Cards. He's like making these little
Beetlejuice's village.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on up there, man? Oh shit, a fat guy, run!
And he falls through this table and just dies of a heart attack. And Chucky's just like, All right. Well,
gotcha anyway.
Save me a little bit of energy. Hey, all you nerds on the internet keeping track of my kills, that counts as one for the Chuckster.
You put that in your YouTube montage, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's making your YouTube video. I don't want that one put under miscellaneous.
Or act of God. Fuck that. I scared him to death.
So they kind of just have this like, oh, he's getting carted off because he had a big fat guy heart attack. And they dedicate breakfast to him the next day, I guess. That's what we're doing. And this is something that happens a lot in movies. And there's nothing. Well, I won't say nothing. But there are a few things more humiliating than being tripped in a cafeteria.
Oh, it's Tops. It's the big one.
Right. I mean, that's just bad.
Oof, and everyone's laughing at you and pointing.
Because you're not just falling. You're falling because you got tripped whilst holding food. Oh, it's bad news. This kid literally has egg on his face.
And I mean, if it's like spaghetti, it's like the cafeteria spaghetti.
You don't want
that. That's when it's really bad.
So Pervert McGee is like smelling all the kids' hair. Oh,
this God. Is so weird.
Like, he's just going around. Like, and no one is stopping this.
Nope. No one has a problem with this.
Shelton doesn't have a problem. Nobody. Like, and he's just like
two other adults that are running the school also don't have problems.
And they
with
let
it.
This, like, this scene goes on. Like, yeah. If he had done one or two of them, yeah. Like, that's a pretty perverted thing to do.
Yep.
He does it to like 12 kids.
He is creating a pedophile schedule. Because yeah. He's walking around and he's like, come see me on Tuesday. You better come see me on Wednesday. Next Friday, you're in my basement barbershop.
It's getting a little long right there.
And then he gets to...
Does not touch De Silva's hair at all. He's just, nope.
Doesn't
nope.
even look... He looks at it and keeps walking. Walks right... And she does kind of like a hair toss, too. Yeah. Like, yeah. You don't want any of this. I know. And then, like, he gets to what? Or Whitestone or whatever his
Whitehurst.
Name? Whitehurst. And he's like, Whitehurst? You look disgusting. You get to me right after breakfast.
And it would make sense if everyone had a complete chop top. Like everyone, if yeah. you don't have a zero in barber language,
right.
you have to go back to this creep and he's going to get you again.
Exactly.
But everyone's got a different hairstyle. Some people have Wolverines.
Yeah,
some people have like a little bit of a, you know, buzz, a dead left scrimp, you know, like, if you will.
Nice.
Good reference.
Sure.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Full Metal Jacket, they all have the same haircut.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because, like, this isn't, like, actual service.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just a school. So I guess this guy just gets to go, like, fun and fancy free with the different styles that he's doing.
That's something. Like, do these kids, like, because if I knew that I would not get touched by this pervert...
Mm-hmm.
I'd be shaving my head daily.
Yeah,
I would be
yeah.
bicking the thing. So do they have like a Stockholm syndrome or something?
Yeah, I don't know. They've like, just been going to this basement barbershop for so long.
I would make mighty sure. That would make very quickly I would be having my hair nice and cut and perfect.
You're just doing it in the bathroom. Like when you go in for a shave, you're like, yep. Oh, a little bit came back. Just yep. bick that yep. right
Absolutely
off.
Absolutely not.
Do don't
not
have to go back to you, Scorpio
don't
killer.
Want to get diddled.
So Whitehurst goes down to the barbershop. And he gets his hair cut. So, like, Whitehurst walks out of there, and this guy's, like, kind of sweeping up hair. He already has a Whitehurst sample, so he's not going to pick anything up off the floor.
He's mumbling about a dead fish.
Yeah. And so he's like, you know, as a school barber, the next thing I should do is start drinking on the job. And like,
clearly.
He opens up this liquor cabinet or whatever, and Chucky's hiding in there for some reason, and he falls out, and the guy's like, you're even littler than Whitehurst.
You know who else had a drinking problem?
Jeff Dahmer.
Jeff Dahmer loved the sauce. He was a party boy is what he was.
And so he takes this
shot, doll. Shot, 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 shot. A Dahmer montage.
There's a couple of Dahmer montages in that Jeremy Renner Dahmer
yeah,
movie.
Just having a good time, man.
Sorry. So he's like, you know what you need, little doll? Well, you need a haircut.
What a fucking maniac. And Chucky, who's the possessed doll, is like, ew. This guy's
a real monster. Like, I know I'm bad, but this guy's a real monster. So he goes, and he's, like, just about to, like, start buzzing this doll's head. And Chucky, like, grabs, like, a barber, like, straight razor,
yeah.
You know, and just cuts this guy's throat.
It's a pretty good one. It's a pretty, like... Throat slits always get me like, oh, yeah. You know, it's just that because, you know, it's all coming out of the hand and it's getting everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So this dude's like dying, and Whitehurst comes
it's
back.
Great, it's so good.
And he just walks in on this, and he's like, "Oh, there's the barber," and he's clearly has his throat cut. He's bleeding. Oh, it appears that a doll has done it. Oh, that's interesting. Well, this guy who I have supreme hatred for is dying in front of me, so let's just pretend none of this happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And just like slowly backs out of the fucking barber.
Oh, God sent us an angel. Yeah. Oh, what a bless that Chucky.
We're free from the shackles of this evil barber.
But no, he Chucky notices him because he says he's like, "Hi."
Yeah, it's like, we're like, "How's it going?" Also, the murder of this barber not mentioned ever again.
No, I mean, because we go right into the War Games. But here's the thing. It's like, and the beginning of the War Games, they're like, well, Colonel Jessup would have loved us to have this, whatever.
Yeah, he loved a hearty autumn war game.
Death or no death. And don't mind about that garbage man that got killed.
Yeah.
Like, that those two can't be related. And by the way, oh, the barber was killed. Who cares? Yeah, it's fine.
We have early reports coming in that the barber was murdered, but the war games will continue.
Do we have... Okay, the sandwiches are dedicated to the barber.
War games dedicated to the colonel. The sandwiches. The lunch today will be dedicated to the barber.
You're too non-white.
And so Chucky... I mean, and here's the thing, is like... And correct me if I'm wrong. I know what a paintball gun looks like. It looks nothing like an actual gun. It's an air rifle that shoots pellets, little balls that are yay big.
Because
right?
It has to hold balls and not bullets.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's ways to do this, though.
Is there to make a cartridge into a paintball bullet?
Yeah, I mean, because the thing that you're thinking of is like, you know, I can fire like 40 of these or something.
Yeah.
And there's a little thing that holds my pellet. I could not care less about paintballing, yeah. But like... You know, there's a thing that holds all your pellets and yeah. They fall in and whatever. But this is like you're trying to simulate like actual training and whatever. So you can, I think, get like actual cartridges that will fit yeah. into a rifle, like a real rifle. Mm-hmm. But all that comes out like is a painting, I think.
Yeah.
Again, I could not care less about paintballing, so I don't know. But I would imagine that's a real thing.
So Chucky gets into the armory and switches the bullets.
Which, where did he get the map to this campus? Where he knows where all this stuff
he found
is.
It in the garbage. Oh, I love down here anyway.
Shouldn't have thrown this away.
I mean, he's been spending fucking 3 days on this campus. He's killed 3 people.
Yeah, that's true.
Which didn't. None of them took that long.
No.
And he's certainly not going to do the thing he wants to do badly.
Super low body count in this horror movie, BTW.
Seriously.
For a third of a slasher movie, really low body count.
You amp them up to keep me coming back. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing is, I think this has the best deaths, certainly over the first two.
Yeah.
The first two have, like, no good deaths.
Well, yeah, because we haven't got to Whitehurst yet.
Well, no. I'm saying the first two movies.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, the first two movies, like, I don't remember there being, like, a particular, like, oh, man, he really got it.
Right.
Yeah, people get it in this.
Yeah.
They get it good. I mean, that fat attack, he falls right through that table.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He Matt Foley's that table pretty well.
So, yeah, he's changing all these paint rounds, like all the cartridges of paint come out, and he's putting live ammo into these things.
And again, so the boys are playing, the girls are playing, and the little kids are playing. And
the little kids, you know what I think the little kids are supposed to be? Like in the Civil War when they had like the little drummer boy out front leading the charge, you know, which is like one of the worst ideas ever for war. Like, just get a kid out there. Give him a little snare drum. Just walk ahead of everybody.
Or like a runner, the guys who would like run the memo up to the general.
Yeah, yeah. That's what those little kids are for, I think. Yeah. So
and then maybe they'll get shot in the head too.
Oh man, you know what's... You ever like remember movies and you're like, no one could have ever seen that movie, which is that World War II pigeon movie with Ewan McGregor, that animated movie. No one's seen that.
Oh, The Owls of Gahool?
No. It's like it takes place like there's like a Nazi pigeon and he's a pigeon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No one saw that movie, right? No.
Like, yeah,
right
yeah,
into
yeah.
the We All Hate Movies mailbag if you ever saw that movie. Because I really think no one ever saw that movie.
Oh, man. I totally forgot
about
that.
Is that Valiant?
Yes, Valiant. It's Valiant. Absolutely.
Yeah, nobody saw Valiant. Like, I mean, people saw Valiant, but like, as far as the world cares, nobody saw Valiant.
If you have a DVD of Valiant, please take a picture and post it.
I'll tell you.
Please, I double dare you. It doesn't count if you go to a Best Buy.
Yeah.
There were a couple Southwest Airlines people yeah. who have definitely seen Valiant.
That's fair.
Valiant. Yeah, Nazi pigeons.
Original title. So it's a capture the flag, and right. Whitehurst, Andy, and Da Silva are on the blue team. Little Kid is on the red team.
Yeah, and that's Tyler's the red team, and those are the only characters.
Shelton is running the blue team.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he's about to meet his end, too.
So
like, you know, and it's apparently this War Games is days long. So they set up camp for the night.
Yeah, you're making a weekend out of this.
Yeah. And, you know, Andy's like, look, you know, I know he's going to go after Tyler. I can't let Tyler fall to Chucky, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So let me go save him.
Here's my thinking, though, right? Worst case scenario, sure. Andy.
I think I know where you're going.
He possesses Tyler.
Sure.
Okay.
Not your fault. Tyler's been only a jerk to you this entire movie.
Yeah. He's been really obnoxious.
Started by stealing your fucking property.
Stealing your mail.
Yeah.
He started by federally offending you. Okay. So, like, look. Chucky gets in there. It's Chucky in the body of this little kid. It's kind of the same thing as him being in the little nice guy, the good guy doll.
Sure.
They're about the same size, mm-hmm. right? You're in a military camp, like you're at this big War Games exercise.
A lot of live rounds going around.
Yeah, and you know, oh my goodness, Tyler just done fell off this bluff.
Mm-hmm.
So like, worst case scenario, that's all I'm saying.
And you're not a voodoo master. You can't take this soul, get Tyler's soul back. The only thing you could do to avenge Tyler at this point is to kill him.
Exactly. So my thinking is, why don't you concentrate on Da Silva?
Yeah, make some moves, dude.
Da Silva makes her move. She's sure. like, hey, let's leave our army camp and go for a nice romantic walk.
And honestly, if they do catch you doing it, killing Tyler, guess what? You, for years now, have been telling everybody who's got a fucking pair of ears that a fucking doll sent your mom to the fucking crazy house,
mm-hmm. yep.
killed her best friend, killed yep. a bunch of people.
Sure. Yep.
You could play this fucking insanity defense like nobody's business.
You're doing 2 years tops in a loony bin.
Yeah.
And then you're just out. You get a bunch of fun pills for the rest of your life.
And Chucky's dead. Chucky got what he want. And guess what? Now he's fucking in the ground.
Yep. Exactly.
And he ain't coming back.
Now, let me ask you this, Chris Cavan, because you're a huge fan of Curse of Chucky or Bride of Chucky or whatever. Bride of Chucky, that's the one you
wild,
saw?
Yes, wild fan.
You're wearing a T-shirt of it right now.
I mean, I didn't want everybody to know that, but
I'm sorry. You know, we talk about everything on this show.
I understand.
Fangoria.com exclusive.
It was my fault.
Do they have, like, does it just start and it's like, now I'm Chucky again? Or is there a resurrection of some kind?
Well, I think because...
That's the next movie in this series, right?
Yeah, it goes Child's Play 3, then Bride of Chucky.
This one killed the fucking franchise.
Bride, Seed, Curse.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. I think they might have actually carried over the idea that now he is just the doll.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. I believe, like, because he has the staples. He staples part of his face back on. I think that's what the...
Oh,
because
that's
at the end of
this
movie,
interesting.
He's got half a face.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens. I'm not completely clear.
Gotcha. So, I mean, yeah. So, worst case scenario, Andy, you got to kill a kid. You can plead insanity. You can hook up with Da Silva. In the meantime, it's great.
And trust me, your cue will only go up for Da Silva if you kill a kid.
Oh, it's a child killer. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
I thought it was great before that he was just a damaged foster home kid. Now he's killing other kids? Da Silva.
So they make out. Like, he does. He's like, oh, Tyler's in trouble. But Da Silva.
Yeah. You know, like, I'll take a few minutes for Da Silva. And she, like, takes
I was up for the role of Da Silva.
They thought it would be pretty awkward in the scene where I had to make out with Andy, and I was the one initiating it.
I did like the scene where I got to show him how to shoot a gun, though. I do believe that's very important for every American to know.
I had this whole backstory where I'd been abducted by UFOs. They cut it right out. So she's like, look at this carnival off in the distance. And what's
I love this.
What I love about this like exchange that they have is she's like, look at that carnival off in the distance. And he basically says, like, God, I remember what it was like when life was fun. Like, that's what he's basically saying to this girl.
Well, she's just like grabbing him by the shoulder. Like, look at the end of the movie, everybody. Just stare at it.
We'll be down there in 5 minutes. Anyone thinking about going to the bathroom, go now. We'll be down at that carnival before too long.
Because the best stuff about to come up.
Oh, man. So let's just get into it.
So basically, shit gets real. Chucky kidnaps Da Silva. Whitehurst rats out that Andy has left. So like Shelton and the whole gang are looking for Andy, looking for...
Because they think he's a traitor to the red team.
Yes.
So they're like going after like... We were gonna move out at dawn, but now we're gonna move out in the middle of the night because the red team might capture our flag.
Yeah.
So they're going out like thinking he's like a double agent in this war game.
Sure.
Or whatever. So everybody's like on the move trying to get Andy Barclay dead.
Yep.
And so we get to this point where there's like this old junked out car, and that's where Chucky's taking this girl.
He took Tyler for...
Tyler, right.
He's got both of them.
Well, he takes Tyler, and then Tyler gets away, but then he
gets... Da Silva's instantly... And Da Silva is one of the ones that has no reaction to the fact that a doll is talking.
Oh, she's got nothing.
She's just like, all right. I've been taken prisoner.
Well, I'm not turned on by Andy anymore.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is all real? Oh, that just means he's a normal guy.
Son of a bitch. I was really hoping that was an hallucination.
Wasted days.
So... Then, like, all of, like, the red team comes for some reason, and it's, like, red team and blue team and this doll and this girl in the middle, and the red team's like, oh, no, we're under attack, and they start firing at the blue team, and it's only the red team that Chucky's replaced the ammo in.
Chucky's got a grenade, right? That's how he's holding Da Silva.
Right.
And basically, Tyler is, like, kind of going to give himself up to Chucky because... He's afraid he's going to kill Da Silva. He's like, look, I'll be okay. Andy, you save me in 5 minutes. So they make a swap, right?
Yes.
Da Silva for Tyler. Chucky leaves, but not before throwing this live grenade at all the kids.
Oh, man.
And you know what? This is something that, what's about to happen needs to get set up earlier. It needs to be, there needs to be a class where Whitehurst is like, somebody's like, you're such a selfish little shit, Whitehurst. You'd never fucking go after a man that went down or something. You know, like,
something. Yeah. Forever you'll be a coward, Whitehurst. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is it the only person who's given him a lot of shit is Shelton, who is a living, breathing asshole.
And he's dead at this point, too. Yeah. So the grenade is live, it's tick, tick, ticking away. And instead of saying grenade, everybody run.
Or just fucking plowing all these people down with one big heave-ho.
A good old mosh pit crowd push.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
He just jumps on this thing, and it goes off. And poor Whitehurst, man, he just blows up.
Hauled out.
Oof. It's like when you go to the deli, and you want them to get like more ingredients in your sandwich, so you're like... All right, yeah, I'm going to get this, you know, like on a hero. Can you, just hollow out that bread so it's just like a husk of bread with your sandwich, you know? He just
and
goes
it's in slow motion, too.
It's in slow-mo.
They just let it all show.
Somebody thought they were Oliver Stone. Between the Shelton death and the Whitehurst death, this is like, oh, man, this is the tragedy of war. And it's like, what are we talking about? It's 1991. What the fuck are we? It's a talking doll movie.
I mean, it is the Platoon of horror movies.
I think it was this filmmaker's response to Kuwait, I think, was the deal. So, yeah, he's just in chunks. And they all kind of look like, oh, my God, who was... Oh. I mean, thanks, Whitehurst, but at least it was Whitehurst.
I'm going to send a card, but...
Well, it's great because Gibbler starts crying like, oh, he was the only man I ever loved.
Yeah, oh, give me a break, Gibbler.
Yeah.
With those crocodile tears, man. Come on.
You've had one scene in this movie. Shut up.
Well, I think that's the thing. She was an extra in this scene, and she was like, you know. And just like, oh, God, no. Why?
Nobody's crowding the corpse? I'm crowding the corpse.
Called it.
So Tyler, like, makes his way down to this carnival.
Well, Chucky's got him. He's got a knife at this point. It's to Tyler Stewart. It's like, we're going to do it in the carnival. We're going to play hide the soul in the carnival.
Oh, he's like, well, it's a carnival, so I guess there's definitely a haunted house we can go into. So, yeah, so he, like, makes him go down or whatever. And then the two of them being Andy and Da Silva. Mm-hmm.
The living cast members. Yeah.
The living cast members with more than four lines in this movie. When they're not... The ones who aren't crying over Whitehurst's corpse go down. And what, like, what is the situation, though? Because, like, Tyler goes into the lost and found first.
Yeah.
No, that's what it is. Tyler goes down to the carnival, and he goes to the lost and found, because Chucky doesn't have him.
Yeah,
he goes to the lost and found, and he's like, hey, there's a doll trying to kill me. Or, like, there's a guy trying to kill me. And, like, this security guard at this carnival is like, well, come to my security tent.
Well, a kid comes into your tent and says, a guy named Chucky is trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's like, kids.
Yeah.
And like, it's, what? This is like your go time, man.
Yeah. This is your time to shine.
Yeah.
Carnival security guard.
Come on, Joe. It's time to go. Like,
and he looks at the clothes that he's wearing. He's like, oh, you're a Kent kid, huh? And he's like, yeah, but I don't see what that has to do with anything. I told you a man's trying to hurt me. So he sits him down, and he's like, oh, you're not going to get hurt, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll figure out where you belong. By the way, you might like this. This will make you feel better. Look what I found. And he pulls Chucky, like, out of a cabinet, and he's like, here, play with this. Chucky kills this guy off screen.
Playing the long con here, I guess.
Yeah, seriously. Good thing the kid went down there, Chucky.
I guess I'll wait here all night. Oh, fuck.
So then, like,
he went to the Denny's across the street. God damn it.
It was either the carnival or the Denny's. Well, shit.
And the school's closed now. I'm never going to find him again.
So then, like, Da Silva and Andy come down, and they're like, hey, lost and found security guard. We're looking for this kid. Oh, no, the kid's dead.
The security guard's dead. Yeah.
Security guard's dead.
Off screen, I agree. We need a better death for the security guard. I need to see it. I need to see something going on.
Totally. It's got to be pretty silly.
Because we only had, like, four deaths at this point. It's so silly.
It's so bad.
And I need a silly death after the fucking shot through the heart and the fucking hero death.
I need to laugh at murder again, everybody. You know what I mean?
Give me a good, silly murder.
We got really Kubrickian here for a moment.
Scissors through the head, something.
another barber pun.
Sure, that'll work.
So they're like, all right, well, we found a gun in this dude's drawer or something. Or they take it off his body. Yeah. I don't know. Now he's got a gun.
Yeah.
And they're running around. Then he sees Andy or Tyler holding the doll. And they go into the haunted house. And Andy's like, oh, well, convenient.
It's called the Devil's Lair, by the way.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
And they go in there. And, you know, it's a lot of like, it's a lot of Chucky being like, all right, we got to find a spot where no one can see us do this. Yeah, over here looks good. And you're just like, do you know what this sounds like, movie makers?
Also, this is a very, very, and like, I know that there's like big carnivals in Texas and like down there. This is a very small carnival. This ride is humongous. This is like...
It puts Space Mountain to shame.
It's really insane.
It's like
humongous.
Chili Willy presents Space Mountain. Because it's a little like... trailer on the outside, and then you walk in and it's Space Mountain.
There's literally a mountain of skulls in the middle of this ride, and you're in this rinky-dink five set pieces carnival. Yeah.
So he starts doing this spell again or some shit, and like,
it's always hilarious when it happens, because it's just this little doll going, I don't know, Dominic, and like clouds start to form.
Oh man,
I am laughing
the
every time.
Ghostbusters clouds appearing over this carnival. Oh, perfect.
And I think it's the same, because it happens at the end of the second one too, and I think it's the same exact effect.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think they
you paid for it. Might as well use it.
Yeah, right, just a little cut and paste.
Save that to the computer.
So Andy breaks it up or something, and then like Tyler runs up this mountain, and then like Chucky's up there or something. They get on top of this mountain.
There's this great, this is Grim Reaper. He's always, it's an enormous Grim Reaper with a big scythe, and he's always about to get your little cart in this fucking
when you're on this ride.
Haunted head. Why would it be sharp? Why would the scythe be so sharp it would cut a doll's face off.
Oh, like, man, his like doll flesh face. Oh, it's great. Now he's just looking like the Terminator.
He does look like the Terminator. Yeah.
Like part of his face just gets cut off by this thing. So it's a big like chase up this mountain, and everybody's climbing up this thing. It's like the end of Guts. And you're just like climbing up this aggro crag because there's like fake smoke popping out. You know, there's this weird looking British lady who's announcing what's happening. You know,
and Mike O'Malley's there.
They're all hooked to bungee cords for some reason.
And also, speaking of fucking dangerous things on this little roller coaster, there's the sharp fucking sky. Yeah. But then there's an open fan.
Yeah. It's really dangerous.
Humongous open fan. And like, it's gonna come in handy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, we're like 90 seconds away from this happening. But like, you're totally right though. Where's the like the safety cover that goes over every fan ever?
It can still blow the fucking pieces of machete paper or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I know, that's all it's doing. It's machete paper has to flutter like flames.
Like, we've been putting little safety grates over fans since before they killed Kennedy, okay? Like, what are we doing with this big open? It's not a fan, it's a turbine.
Okay. I promise you a gate on every fan. Huge applause.
Landslide. Landslide victory. Promises gates on fans. So we're like at the top of this thing, and he's like, he's got a gun and he's trying to shoot at the doll. And here's my question. Where do you end this like conjuring? Because he gets this kid like where he needs to get him. He says all the mumbo jumbo, but then he like keeps repeating shit.
Yeah. Well, he calls out. That's the thing, is he calls out. He's like, give me the power. And then
whatever you say, Prince Adam.
And it somehow he still has to do something after saying give me the power.
He just keeps repeating like whatever it is. He just keeps repeating it. And I was like, all right. So he did it. Like,
yeah, ritual over.
Finished
the
thing. The clouds are here. I saw the clouds. Like, come on.
And isn't that a better ending, too? Like, especially, like, this is probably your last movie. He gets this kid, and Andy's got to kill this kid. You know what I mean? Maybe we get a nice end of Monster at 80,000 Feet where he's on the fucking gurney, and he's like, it was the doll, the doll. And they close it, and like, oh, well, that guy's dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Or, I mean, listen. It's like, oh, Andy, thanks for saving me. I can't believe how stupid I was with that dumb Charles doll, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, they go their separate ways, and then, like, this little kid just starts laughing like Brad Dourif.
Cat eyes!
Yes!
Then we get cat eyes!
Turn cat eyes Brad Dourif laugh.
That's
like,
it.
That's what you want. Or it would be even better, like, he accidentally does it. Like, they're just walking, and the kid, like, stubs his toe, and he's like, oh! And he's like, what did you say? And he's like, oh, nothing. No, no, no. And then cat eyes.
And then Bride of Chucky, Dennis Haysbert.
Man, that would be great.
Oh, wow. I'd love that.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I want
the
that.
The nicest serial killer of all time, Dennis Haysbert. So he wrestles with this faceless doll. And, you know, he shoots him or something. The doll just falls off into those turbines.
Yep.
Gets nice and ground up.
Yeah.
Like, talk about ground Chuck, am I right?
And it's not even like the,
that was terrible.
Sorry. It's not even the slasher movie where, like, maybe you think he's dead and there's one last scare or something. Yeah. You know, nothing. Like, it's just because he does have the physiology of a person for no reason. So he's got none of the advantages of a person and all of the disadvantages.
Yeah, exactly. He can still be chopped up, decapitated, whatever.
Like, he bleeds, he gets shot. He's like, oh, shit. You know?
Oh,
like,
I got shot. Oh. I was 2 days before retiring into that kid's body.
I kind of wanted this to end like the end of King of New York. And he's just got a bullet in his gut. And he's
just sitting there.
He's just walking through the fucking cars.
What is astounding about how they end this movie, though, is like Tyler's like, thanks for saving me, Andy. By the way, that was really crazy.
Yeah.
And Andy's line is something like, don't worry, Tyler. I've been here before. And they put Andy in the back of a police car.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think it's like they both got some blankets on
them.
Yeah,
yeah.
He and DeSilva share a kiss.
Yeah. Well, DeSilva got hurt at some point in the movie. It doesn't really matter. She's like, go on, Andy. Because she's like the tough one that she.
Oh, Chucky's got a gun and she shoots. She gets shot by him.
Yes.
Like in the leg or something.
And, you know, like she's the one that taught Andy how to shoot and all that stuff.
This is what I want. I want, like. You know, it turns out DeSilva's okay.
Yeah.
Like, the ambulances, the fire trucks, like, everybody's there. And like, you know, Andy and Da Silva like share a kiss. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, he's going to take Tyler under his wing.
Sure.
And then just like Die Hard. Yeah. Right. We pull up to this very high angle shot of the whole scene. And it's just, well, the weather outside is frightful. And that's just like, it's the credits. Like, that's it. This dude is going to jail.
Or it's like Die Hard with a Vengeance and they have to go to Canada for 5 more minutes.
He shoots Chucky out of a helicopter. Oh, and that's it. I've been here before. I guess that means doing time. Yeah. And it's just we cut to some we don't even cut. It's just the credits just start rolling over this poor fucker going to jail.
It's like B-roll of the carnival. Like there's a garbage picker. Like it's yeah, it's really stupid.
He's sweeping up a spotlight. Like, come on.
Movie's over, folks. Time to go home. Sweep, sweep. Lights go off on the carnival.
Is the snack bar still open?
John Lovitz comes out. It's just what a boner of a sequel, this movie, man.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, the thing is, I don't know really what, especially from the first movie, like what the rules of the whole franchise was supposed to be. Like, they should have given him.
There aren't any rules.
Yeah, there should have been like a new motive or a new kid or something. I mean, there is a new kid, but like, we're just going through whatever.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like you have an older version of your character. It's like Nightmare 3 when like Heather Langenkamp comes back and she's like, I know what's going on. These kids are being messed with by Freddy. Like, I'm here to help you. Like, that's essentially what this is. Is like, oh, I know that this kid's coming. You know, Chucky's coming after this kid. Like, I got to help him out. Like the seasoned veteran of the other two movies.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, is that he's still spooked by this fucking, like, and if anybody's tangled, he's killed him before.
Yeah,
yeah.
He should be a little tougher, I feel.
Yeah, he should be a bit more Sarah Connor Terminator 2.
A little grizzled.
Yeah. He needs to be a little bit of a grizzled hard apple. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And the funny thing is, I've been, like, talking shit about all these sequels. I know I'm going to seek him out now and watch him. I just am. Yeah.
That's the way I roll.
The fucking thing that just never makes sense is the whole fucking issue is that he doesn't want to be trapped in the body, because once he gets trapped in the doll, he can be killed as the doll.
Yeah. Right.
But then
in the game,
when
you
get
for real.
Killed as the doll, you don't really die.
Yeah.
So
I guess people
no
just
sense.
Sweep up your parts and melt you down and build you back up again.
And then a few drops of blood and that's it. You're fine.
No, yeah, it doesn't work. Give me something better. I mean, like, I would have liked... I think this movie... It's a total recommend for me because it's a lot of fun. It's stupid. And
yeah.
I think I need like 2 to 3 more creative deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the middle of this movie, in the saggy middle of this movie where we're just going through like the military school stuff, like just something.
I mean, I thought that the guy, because they do have a very long scene with Tyler and this guy who sorts the mail.
Yes.
And I was certain he was going to get something.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they give Tyler like a little bit of backstory. They're like, you know, your dad's flying jets over whatever, you know, like he comes from a military background, I guess. But yeah, because that guy is sort of fatherly, like, well, hey, Tyler, what are you doing? You want to deliver some mail?
Yeah, like they fucking, you know, he goes and asks like, oh, where is, you know, McGillicuddy? And then, you know, letter opener right in the neck.
Yeah, you gotta show me McGillicuddy getting it, man.
And I mean I will recommend this as well, because I think it's the best of these. And it's not good, but it has A, the most creative deaths. B, it does go along pretty quick.
Yeah.
It never sags too much. And it's probably got, I mean, and I hate to admit this, but it probably has the better jokes of the whole thing. Like, the heart attack is pretty hilarious.
I would recommend this movie for the heart attack alone, because it is the best. There's nothing better than someone literally getting spooked to death. Like, that's what happens.
And he does have come on. Like,
which is, I mean, that's, I mean, yeah, the comedy in this is good. And I understand, like, people watch these movies for the comedy. Like, that is one of these franchises. Yeah. That's what you're here for. So, I mean, what I've seen of this franchise, which is now 2 of these movies. Like I said, I didn't see the second one. Yeah. But, yeah, I would recommend this movie. I'm sadly going to seek out the others.
Oh, no.
Because I've been on this weird completist bend. Like, I suffered through all of those Howling movies. I super suffered through all of those Hellraiser movies. I'm just going to do it. And I'm probably going to suffer some more, and it's going to be my own fault.
Well, I mean, at least you called the quits on Leprechaun.
Oh yeah, that's
because that's a week. That's a one and done week.
If you can get, if you can barely get to the first one, there's no reason to go through any of the others.
Although I'll say, with my love for Ice T, I might check out that Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yeah,
because Ice T's in that movie, isn't he?
I think.
Is he one of the fellas? Well, then there's also like he goes to space. Like,
sure, they're just doing whatever they want.
How's that Leprechaun getting to space? He's not getting to space.
And how's a pot of gold? How are they sneaking a pot of gold on a fucking space shuttle?
Very, very true, Chris.
That's Child's Play 3 from 1991, directed by Jack Bender. That concludes the Halloween Spooktacular 2014. I'm very sad about this.
Wow. All of our sequels worked out. By the way, possible subtitle, I saw it a couple places, of this movie was Look Who's Stalking. Child's Play 3, Look Who's Stalking. It's not in the movie proper.
Yeah.
But maybe it was cut out of...
That's where they released it in Romania. Look Who's Stalking. They were like, you know, Romania really loves those John Travolta, Kirstie Alley movies. Maybe we'll trick them into thinking it's one of those.
But then I do feel like you need to have the proper Look Who's Talking poster with him, like, looking over...
with sunglasses on, resting on his head.
Neon blue sunglasses on. If you want more information about We Hate Movies, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at @WHMPodcast. Right into our mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Where do you stand on some of these shittier, less popular horror franchises? Rate and review the show, whether you get it in iTunes or Stitcher, or however you download us. Take 2 seconds, leave a review. We would greatly appreciate it. Next week, we are starting the listener request month for November. So clue for next week's episode.
The swinging 60s, man.
The swinging 60s. Oh, get ready, everybody. So your calls possibly being selected. And if you want one more chance to celebrate Halloween with us, come check us out at the Jacob Burns Film Center this Friday, October 31st. BurnsFilmCenter.org for tickets. So until next week with the swinging 60s, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gavin.
Steven Zadak.
Take it easy.
Of the witch, the night no one comes home.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.